there, friends. And thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And of course, I don't do this alone. As everyone knows, if you're just tuning in, you might have found out I got a new co-host over the weekend. This day-to-day, joining me is kind Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here. Feeling good.
He's hope got everybody his shoes out there, off.
Yeah.
He's kicking it big time in here now.
Man, I'm feeling good today.
You got your Liquid Death with you, I see?
I got a new one here. Yep. This is a Liquid Death. This one's called Severed Lime.
Ooh, and?
And this is it's a fizzy water.
This is a fizzy report.
It's a lime-flavored fizzy water. Yeah, this is the new... Is this on? This is the fizzy report. I haven't done one in a while.
Right.
And you wouldn't believe all the people all over the world that have been sending me messages about these different fizzy waters. I'm like, man, I can't even get that here. I've had people from South Africa, people from Holland, people from Australia sending me stuff.
Man, I wish I could try their fizzy water.
Well, if there's a place around here, I don't know.
No.
Like, I don't maybe know. There is, but I'm not aware of it.
Yeah, I don't even know.
You know, like you can go to the grocery stores, and this wasn't a thing back when we were kids. This was a dry county, right? I remember having to jump in the back of the bed of the pickup truck.
For that
truck.
Means, folks, it didn't sell booze.
Yeah, so I know this is shocking. County. There are still some parts of the U.S. and certain states that are dry. This state has lots of dry counties. Our county, Parker County, is no longer dry, but it was when I was a kid. And I remember having to drive to the county line with my dad and uncles and stuff because they'd be running low on beer, right? That beer store closes, man. You got to get there before. Anyways, what I'm getting around to is now, and you can go in the grocery stores here, and they have all these beers. And you know what I mean? You can pick out individual ones and try them from all these different breweries from all over the world.
You're going to ask them to do that with water?
I wish they would do it with water. That would be pretty...
water.
Pretty cool, right?
A mix and match sixer,
yeah,
with fizzy water.
That would be nice, but they don't do that. Yeah, there's a lot of we went to California. You could buy Jack Daniels at 7-Eleven. You can't do that here.
Wow.
You can only buy it at a liquor store, and you can only buy it from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Sundays you cannot buy hard liquor.
Mm-hmm. But just now changed it to where you can buy beer and wine on Sundays before 12 now.
Uh-huh.
Now it's at 10 a.m. Used to be you couldn't buy beer and wine here until it was after lunch.
And they still have rules, even if you go to a gas station on, let's see, Monday through Friday, I think you can't buy beer after midnight. And on Saturday night, you can't buy beer after 1 a.m. Like, as if...
There's still the rules.
As if... Yeah. That stops anything. Why do we play with the days of the week?
I can't or the times? I can't buy whiskey anywhere because I'm not adult enough to drink it.
Man, when I was
I'm
a
not
kid.
Tough enough. We've talked about it. I wanted to drink bourbon and have the cigar and the little round ball of ice or the frozen stone, so it's neat and there's no water watering down, but a little splash. Really all the work. I can't do it.
I know what you're talking about. When I was a kid,
I thought, ginger ale.
When I get older, I'd be able to drink scotch, because my father loves scotch. I'm sorry, folks. I can't drink it.
No, this is the guy come in here with lime fizzy water, folks. So don't listen to him about anything. This man shows up bragging about fizzy water, right? So
but when I was a kid, though, you would go in people's homes, and in the foyer or foyer, however you want to say it, in the entrance of their homes, they always had the glasses.
With the decanter.
And the decanter. But you don't see that no more.
Yeah, because people aren't alcoholics. Here's the thing. I don't think everybody had it. We were just raised by boozers.
No. If you go back and watch a timepiece, a movie from the 60s, you always see people coming in. And
they also used to fly to the moon and not wear a helmet in those movies, too.
Did they really fly to the moon? Did they?
Well, maybe they drank too much scotch out of their decanter. They couldn't get there. I'll tell you where you don't want to go. Springville, Utah, y'all.
What? What's wrong with Utah?
A black crawler humanoid was encountered by a young woman there.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Usually we get these creepy, pale pasties. Now they're dark, leathery. Get a load of this, folks, right here. It says, "This is my wife's story. I'm sharing it with permission because it matches the descriptions I've seen of crawlers on various forums. Mostly they're described as pale white, but there are a few stories where they're described as black. Has anyone heard of crawlers coming into towns before? This wasn't exactly out in the middle of nowhere. There are caves nearby in the mountains, and I believe there are some underground structures in Springville, Utah, for irrigation and things like that. This took place in 2015. So this is what it goes on to say. Summer, they remember there being some green trees, okay? Late enough at night that it was full dark. Now, here's the location they give, folks. The 300 block of 100 West Springville, Utah County, Utah. Johnny, Utah. So it says this, that this person's wife left the house on 100 West on foot to go to the Maverick gas station on 300 North. As soon as she stepped out of the house, she had a feeling of fear and dread. She was going north along 100 West, and she saw the creature as she approached the corner of 300 North. It was moving south towards her. She kept walking at first, trying to rationalize what she was seeing as maybe some tall guy with long baggy sleeves, even though she thought she could see hands at the ends of these arms. But the feeling of fear became so overwhelming, she turned and ran back to the house. Now, what she described was something dark, very black, and it seemed unearthly. She describes it as 6 to 7 foot tall. The posture was, of course, hunched over, extremely thin, disproportionately long arms and legs, and other details she couldn't make out because it was so dark. Now, here's a really cool thing. Said it was walking south down the middle of the street, swaying a bit as it moved. Goes on to say that it was almost like they were limping or trying to rock the way they were distributing their weight.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing did not get to her, anything like that. Now, she did still say, and goes back in, there was no sound or none that she could remember. There was like a total absence of it. So it sounds like, again, like the Oz effect, correct?
Yeah.
But what she said was the dread and fear was in her the minute she stepped out the door. And when she finally saw this, she was about 3 blocks away, 2 to 3 blocks away from the creature when she saw it. So halfway down her trip, she sees it. It's wild that she felt it when she left the house almost instantaneously.
That is crazy.
Like you just know, like we've said, it's like you just know. Then you see it, turns around and comes back. So what could you mistaken it for? Unless it's somebody messing with you, right?
Right.
Or it's just some, I don't know if there's like some crazy crackhead on sheetrocker stilts that's trying to scare people, shuffling down the road. Who knows? But other than that, what could it be?
I have no explanation.
I love how they point out of there's caves they believe used for irrigation. Would be a great place to stay.
Yeah, why are so many stories of crazy rakes and reptilians and things like that always around in and around caves, it's right?
The lizard people.
I know, but like, isn't that crazy that our mind instantly goes? Well,
lizards
live
under a rock, so they're living in the ground, in the cave.
Maybe.
I would love to see like a whole fictional series dedicated to like crazy, like X-Files cave exploration, stuff like what we've covered here.
Yeah.
But more because like you said, there's a lot that goes into it. You've probably seen the map of what you're talking about, these caves. Of where they overlay the missing people and then overlay the map of all the cave systems. And you're like, man, something is popping off in these areas.
Yeah, something's coming out of the ground like, and grabbing them, right?
Maybe that's what these are. Like you said, this one here, maybe that's where it came from.
Are you familiar with the legends of the ant people?
Yes, yes.
These are like insectoid-looking, upright walking beings that the Native Americans from long ago said lived in the ground.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they called them ant people. I wonder how much that is just legend and, you know, because if we're capable of making up stories, other people were too, right? Just because they're old.
But it may have led, again, like from folklore, something had may have spurred it that they had seen or interacted with.
I hope it's real.
Of course, it has changed. Me too.
Right? Man. I'd like to think that there's a race of insectoids living beneath me.
I just want there to be wonder still in this world. Strange and unusual and wonder. I like that.
The last time we were in like inner space caverns, I told Luke that I thought I saw a reptilian down there, and I think he believed me. Of course, this was a couple years ago.
Have you seen the video footage of a lot of the crazy things that they've seen in those Vietnamese caves?
No.
Like there's where they look like they have video footage of like a reptilian or something moving in there. Like there's a lot of footage online. Of course, you got to take it for a grain of salt.
Right.
You don't know what it is, but it is very, very interesting. You know what we need to do? We need to watch some of those videos and we need to comment on it. We need to do it on YouTube.
That's a good idea.
And we can pull them up and people can send us videos that they want us to see because we get them on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah,
and
no, emails. I get them all the time, yeah.
It would be easy to set it all up like a reaction. We're going to watch it.
That'd be pretty cool.
See if people, you know, that way y'all can send us what you want us to see and then we can kind of break it down because I love watching creepy videos.
Who doesn't? Speaking of creepy, this isn't a video, but a very creepy story. Check this out. It says, I want to share with your listeners an odd experience I had as a teenager. To some, it will sound like a bad John Keel MIB story, but it is true, and I am still somewhat at a loss to explain it. It was the summer of 1973, and I was 18 years old at the time. My cousin Tony and I were out late on a Friday night, and we decided to get a six-pack of beer, sit on the front steps of a nearby elementary school, and quench our teenage summertime thirst. We hadn't been there very long when we both heard the rumble of a very loud car approaching. As it came into view, we saw that it was a 1959 Cadillac convertible, the ones with those huge fins. It was moving no more than about 10 miles an hour, and it was apparent that the car had no muffler. We watched it as it passed, wondering why such an unusual old car would be cruising through our neighborhood after midnight. The car disappeared up the street. However, and as we soon as we turned our attention to other things, we noticed something was off. After a while, we got tired of sitting, so my cousin and I got up from the school steps and decided to go for a walk. We rounded the side of the school building and found ourselves on a dark side street with no street lights and only a few houses. We hadn't gone very far when again we heard the sound of that loud engine. About a quarter of the mile up the street, a pair of headlights swung towards us. Both my cousin and I froze. The side of the street on which we'd been walking was wooded, so we slowly edged our back into the tree line and waited. The car approached, and as it very, very slowly passed by us, we could see that it contained a man driving, a woman next to him in the front passenger seat, and a small boy in the back seat. Now, the street was dark, but their faces, they were illuminated by the glow of the dashboard lights. My cousin and I agreed afterwards that none of the three moved the entire time we had them in sight. This is where it gets strange. As we focused on them, they had locked-in facial expressions. They never changed. Their heads never moved. To be honest, they looked like mannequins. Like robots, or something very similar. The Cadillac disappeared down the street, and we never saw it again. Now, being teenagers out late, this freaked us out a bit. We decided that we had enough for one night, so we headed home. As we rounded the block, a police car approached us. The car stopped, and the officer asked us what we were doing out so late. He then asked us if we'd seen anything unusual. Of course, at this point, we spilled our whole story. He calmly explained that the car contained a family of bicycle thieves. Now, somewhat relieved, we continued home. After a bit, I thought it seemed awfully convenient that the police officer pulled up when he did to offer a prosaic explanation for what had been a very weird experience. You have to wonder what kind of parent would take their kid out for a night of larceny. Yes, there are some really dysfunctional families out there, but this seemed too bizarre. It only occurred to me later that we had seen no bicycles in the car. The trunks on those Cadillacs are huge, but I don't recall that the trunk lid was even ajar. So, if they were bicycle thieves, they must not have had any luck. Now, to this day, I remember how eerie it was to see these motionless mannequins driving down the dark street. If they were looking for bikes, don't you think they would have been scanning yards to see if some kids left one on the front lawn? Instead, all three of these strange-looking people sat bolt upright, looking straight ahead. You would at least expect the kid to be moving around, but as long as we had them in sight, none of them moved. My cousin and I still discuss the incident from time to time. We still don't know what to make of our Night of the Androids. Yes, that's what we're calling it. Night of the Androids. Thanks for all you do, JH.
That is wild. So now, let me ask you something. Could they have been stoned to the gourd?
The mother, the father, and the kid?
The people in the car that they said weren't moving?
I guess, but he said they, like it reminds me of the stories of, like, the grinning man, mm-hmm. how they're just, like, locked in. But he said that they didn't look human. They looked like mannequins. They looked like robots driving down the street. And he's right.
What?
I mean, the cops might have been looking for some bicycle thieves, but I don't think it was that car because, like he was saying, why would you be out after midnight? Remember, this is 1973.
Yeah.
And you're taking your kid with you to steal cars?
Or bicycles.
And if they were looking, I mean, not cars, bicycles, yeah. Right? Wouldn't they be looking around? They would be looking, scanning the area for bicycles. I don't know. It's a bizarre story.
It is very, it's unsettling too, because of like the whole android idea of it. You're like, what is that?
But even in the beginning, he mentions it kind of seems like a weak John Keel MIB story because Men in Black are described as looking almost like mannequins, almost android-like.
Yep.
I don't know. Strange stories. Well, speaking of strange stories, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to be talking about some strange stories with police officers, security guards, and people of that ilk. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. First off, I want to start this segment off with a big thank you to all of the men and women out there who are police officers, security guards, military police, whatever you do. It's an incredibly hard job. It's an often thankless job, but a very important one nonetheless. You know, police officers, security guards, these people are their job, and they're responsible for enforcing the laws, protecting the public, detecting, preventing crime. They're trying to keep the community safe. You know, they're trying to fight crime. And, you know, they have to do a lot of stuff that's not portrayed in the movies, like filling and filing reports, you know, after these incidents happen. You know, security guards, police officers, they can be employed by municipalities, federal government bodies, like we said, the military, provinces, and even tribal nations. The job of a police officer or security guard is it's a very important job. They're here to serve and protect, to deal with dangers that lurk in the shadows and beyond the corners. They're here to keep us safe, often from violence. You know, the violent world we live in, it's more violent than ever, or at least it seems that way. Yet these officers of the law sometimes have to deal with dangers not only from our world, but also those from beyond the veil of our reality. They sometimes have brushes with the unexplained, and yes, the paranormal. Now, we talk about it all the time on this show. Some reported sightings from credible witnesses are just more believable than others, because some of these sightings are by trained observers, people like pilots, doctors, and yes, police officers, security guards. Believe it or not, police officers sometimes see some very strange things while out on patrol. And no, I'm not talking about crackheads or people all jacked up on bath salts. No, I know they see plenty of those too. I'm talking about the paranormal, the strange, ghosts, spirits, things like that. Over the years, many cops have had encounters with something they cannot explain. In one case, an unidentified officer was called out to a residence on a call referred to as a 5150. Kind of reminds me of the Van Halen album, 5150. When I was a kid, I remember seeing the little kid on the front smoking a cigarette, and I was like, man, what is going on with this? I didn't know what it meant, but I do now. This particular officer was sent out to report to a domestic disturbance or something going on. Something was going on that he was called out to. And when the officer arrived, he was met by an elderly woman who turned out to be the homeowner. And she greeted him to tell him that her son had taken some drugs and was convinced that when he entered his room, he could see an old man in a World War II uniform hanging from a noose from the ceiling.
Now, when the officer spoke to the son of the woman, he seemed to be strung out a little bit, but the man claimed that he had been told not to enter the room by the spirit that was dwelling within because it was angry with the spirit's father, who was supposedly hanging from the ceiling. Now, the officer entered the room and found that there was nobody in there. There definitely wasn't anybody hanging from the ceiling by a noose, as claimed. And it was at that time that a veteran officer, reportedly arrived on the scene, who told the officer that he had been called to that very same residence many years before to investigate a case of an older man who had hung himself there in that exact same bedroom. Now, apparently the victim had been a World War II veteran and had fully decked himself out in his old uniform before deciding to end his own life with that noose. It was certainly an unsettling experience for the younger officer, who had no knowledge of such a depressing past case. And he began to wonder if there was something strange at work on the premises, perhaps something not of this world. In another case, an officer was called out to a residence out in a remote rural area of Wyoming. It was around 11 p.m., and he was called out because of a suspicious activity call. Now, upon arrival, the officer and his partner were told that there was some frantic screaming that they could hear coming from a nearby creek, which both of the officers heard for themselves several moments later. The unearthly screams sounded like they were coming from a woman who was in severe distress or was in terror. And the police officers, they promptly went to investigate. As they drew closer, the screams apparently got even more desperate and were laden with sheer, unadulterated horror. And the sounds and the screaming was growing louder and louder, to the point that it seemed for sure that some sort of brutal crime was taking place. So the officers were frantic. They were trying to find out, save this woman. What was going on? What was attacking her? When the officers approached the location from where the screams were, though, they found absolutely nothing. There was nothing out of the ordinary. Even after they did a complete search of the vicinity and cried out to whoever had been screaming, they didn't find anything. They were yelling out to the woman, "Are you okay? We're the police. We're here to help. Tell us where you're at." Nothing. Now, they both heard the screaming. So these two officers, of course, they were baffled, and they started heading back to the house. And it was then that they heard another scream. It came from directly behind them. And this time, it was even closer than it was before. So they did another sweeping search, which again turned up nothing at all. Just silence. The police officers then apparently searched around yet again with their flashlights and heard another extremely loud scream that lasted for 30 continuous seconds. But with no sign of anyone after several intensive searches, the officers were forced to head back to the home and tell the family that called it in that if they hear anything again, I guess call it in again. Oddly, the night had been inexplicably silent, other than the screams they mentioned. We talk about this all the time. There's no sound of frogs or toads or crickets. The woods are completely silent. One of the officers actually said in a quote, "I still don't know what it was. I'm an avid outdoorsman. I know no animal that makes a cry like that, especially one that can move stealthily without being spotted by flashlights." Something else that weirded me out was that it was completely silent when the screams were happening. Now, during the summer in Wyoming, there's always some type of ambient animal sounds, whether it's frogs croaking, crickets chirping, owls hooting, coyotes howling, etc. But there was nothing until we were leaving and the screams had stopped. Then I heard a frog start croaking. It gives me the creeps still to this day just thinking about it. I don't know what they saw. Was it some type of spirit in the woods messing with them? Or, like we've mentioned before, you'd be surprised. Sometimes rabbits can make some pretty loud screams. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you're not a varmint hunter, you can go on YouTube and just Google the cries of rabbits. Or you can go to like varmint calls. And I'm telling you, these rabbits, it sounds sometimes like a woman screaming. But the police officers did an investigation of the area and they didn't find anything. So
I don't know. Maybe that's why it was quiet. Maybe there was a predator around. Like maybe, perhaps a coyote had killed a rabbit and then heard the police officers and scurried off with the prey in its mouth. I don't know. Moving on. Check out this next story. There was an officer named Jim, and he remembered his first time when he started working as a security guard. One of his strangest first assignments was during the third shift, in a location on the outskirts of town, at a new housing development building. Even though he had only worked there for a short period of time, he claimed that very odd things took place. While Jim was taking care of his regular patrols in the neighborhood, he would see people watching him drive around from the upper windows of the vacant houses. Interestingly enough, by the time he went into one of those houses to investigate, they would be completely empty. Jim tried not to think too much about it, and he went on about his daily business. When he arrived on site, Jim liked to go through each of the 8 model homes he was assigned to and turn off all the lights that generated excess electricity, television, lights, etc. After the first night, things started to get creepy. As he was going through the kitchen of one of the houses, he heard someone turn off the lights. Well, at least that's what he figured had happened, considering the fact that the breaker wasn't blown or a power surge hadn't occurred. Not too long after the lights went off, Jim heard another clicking sound and noticed that the lights had gone out in the very next house as well. Strangely enough, though, the TV had been left on. Now perplexed, Jim went into the house, but by the time he got inside, the lights had been turned back on and the television had been put on standby mode. Jim noted that the only way that the TV could have been put on standby mode is if the button on the front of the TV set had been touched. Once again, he ignored it and went on to tend to the other houses. Just when he was finishing up with the final house, Jim looked out the window and noticed that both the second and third houses had managed to have their lights turned back on. Again, no one was in the house when he went inside to turn off the lights. On the third night, the situation involving the lights started to get stranger and stranger. The lights weren't just turning on by themselves when he was in another house. Now they would do one of two things: flicker on and off in a particular room as soon as he went into one of the houses, or the light that was above the stove would somehow manage to turn itself on. When he would turn to take a closer look at the lights, Jim would hear a whole bunch of clicking sounds coming from the floor above him. It sounded a lot like someone was going through the house, turning on all the lights. Being the brave soul that he was, he would then go upstairs to see what was going on. Just as he suspected, most of the lights that he had previously turned off were now on again. You would think that this would be enough to make Jim not want to go into any more of these houses, but he wasn't that scared, and he just kept trucking right along as if things were normal, because that was his job as a member of the security force assigned to that location. When he went into a different house, one of the lamps positioned on the desk kept turning its switch back on. In fact, it did this 3 times. In that same house, another lamp that was pretty dim started to light up by itself while Jim was standing right in front of it. Now, if you think this whole experience with the model houses was something, wait until you hear about some of the other scary occurrences that took place while Jim was working nearby at the same site. There was a construction site near the place that he used to patrol. And one day, as he was going past that site, he saw something that resembled a skunk walk directly behind one of the porta potties. Whatever it was, it came back from behind the bathroom. It had transformed from a skunk to a black shih tzu. If that wasn't creepy enough, the thing then continued to transform itself a few more times while it was right in front of Jim's eyes. He said he could see the animal literally change, not only in size, but in color and even shape. It went from a shih tzu to a Doberman, then from a Doberman to a bloodhound, and then from a bloodhound to a tan mastiff, before finally stopping as it turned into a yellow Labrador retriever. Now, after it took the shape of the lab, it ran off into the dark. Now, up until that point, Jim had thought that maybe the situation with the lights was just a part of his imagination. However, this transformational beast proved that the place was haunted. As Jim started walking back towards the front office, he just happened to look up into one of the vacant houses. As soon as he looked up, something hit him on the left side of his body. Now, Jim's a pretty big guy. He weighs about 250 pounds at the time, so it would take a bit of force to sway him, he said. But whatever it was that hit him knocked him heavily off balance. Jim described the feeling as if someone were trying to walk past him and ended up shoving him a bit too hard to get him out of the way. Of course, no one was there. So Jim, of course, now was terrified. Since that incident, he had politely expressed to his supervisors via a formal request his decision to decline ever being assigned to patrol that site again. Jim eventually quit. I don't blame Jim. Now, I know this isn't really a police officer. This is more like a security officer, but close enough for this episode. But man, what about that? Like a new construction, you know, I deal with new construction all the time. It's a real estate appraiser. I work for several different builders in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And typically at these construction sites, they'll have model homes. Like the particular builder might build 8 different model homes. And, you know, these are so that the people that are coming to inquire about buying a home can go and look and see for themselves. And these houses are furnished, they're decked out, you know. And there are often people there that at night, you know, make sure that no vagrants break in, no teenagers have a house party and stuff like that. And I can only imagine patrolling these areas and having someone constantly turn the lights off and on. And then, of course, you know, the trash bag duende thing. And he didn't see a trash bag, but he did see an animal transform into multiple different dogs, even a skunk right before his very eyes. And then, of course, being shoved. It makes me think of Poltergeist. Like, what was that construction site? What was that housing addition buried on? Was there, you know, a Native American burial ground there previously? And it truly was a haunted site. I don't know. Creepy. Check out this next one. This next one happened at an abandoned hospital. And for some reason, you know, buildings like this at night can be creepy. Just walking through them is creepy. But check this out. It says, a little while before Brandon joined the police force, he recalls working for a hospital as one of the security guards. The job was perfect, except for the fact that during graveyard shift hours, he was all by himself. On top of that, the hospital was completely abandoned during that time. A year before he started working there, the hospital had constructed a brand new building that had replaced one that had been built in the 1900s. The building was fairly large, standing about 5 floors high. Once the hospital was cleared out, all of the patients, doctors, and nurses left. They didn't tidy anything up on their way out. All of their tools and supplies were left right in place, as if they were trying to leave in a hurry. Everything was still there, from the half-empty coffee mugs, wheelchairs sitting around in odd places, and even uniforms still tucked neatly away on a rack. Everything was still there, just collecting dust. Now, Brandon had always enjoyed working the graveyard shift because he didn't really scare easily. Every night that he had to work, he would make his way through the halls. Usually, he would walk a butt. Every now and then, he would ride in a wheelchair since he was alone and the building was supposed to be empty and unused. For some reason, he would have to keep relocking and closing certain doors. He always thought that was odd. He always thought it was something strange. He would start on the first floor and then make his way up to the remaining 4 floors every night. He didn't begin to get nervous until it was about an hour after he had walked down the hallway to turn off the lights and do his patrol. This was because he had to close the exact same doors and cut off the same lights that he had already done on his first round. Another thing that would happen is that he would be going down a hall, and then all of a sudden, he could hear footsteps on the floor that was directly above him. He would then also start hearing different floors opening and closing. The elevators would start to move from floor to floor without him touching any of the controls. The phones would start ringing out of nowhere. Even the nurse call lights would start blinking. Despite everything that was going on, Brandon stated that there were only three times that I hate this feeling. The first time he got the feeling was when he had been checking the offices on the fourth floor of the hospital. One of the lights was on in the locked hallway for some reason. Brandon knew it didn't make sense for that light to be on because the hallway hadn't gone through any renovations since it was originally built in the 1900s, when electricity wasn't even used in the hospital yet, back in the olden days of the original structure. Nevertheless, he went to unlock the door, turn off the lights, leave the hallway, and relock the same door. As he was about to leave, he heard the sound of the light switch. Peering through the frosted glass, he saw that the light had turned itself back on. Now, terrified, he decided not to go back to the hallway during the remainder of that night. The second time that Brandon had a creepy experience was when he was riding the elevator back and forth between the floors. As he was taking the elevator to the fifth floor, he heard the sound of laughter. He also heard the sound of faint talking. The higher the elevator went, the louder the voices sounded. As soon as he got to the top floor, all of the noises completely stopped. Every single light on that floor had been turned on, including the patient rooms. Brandon was stunned because he knew for sure that he had heard the voices. Determined to find out who it was, he said that he checked high and low, and there was not a single living or breathing person in that place except for him. The worst of his encounters came on the third night. It started off as being a normal, average night. Brandon was on the first floor, locking all of the doors in the corridor. Now, this particular door had glass in the center, but the back of it was covered with a few strips of white tape. The room that the glass door led to was pretty dark, and the hallway that was close to Brandon had a dim light shining through it. The glass was a perfect mirror to see behind him. Everything was normal until he looked up and saw a full outline of a person walk past him. There was no denying what Brandon saw. "Clear as day," he explained. He said, "I just saw a full shadow of a person walk past me." He claimed that he was petrified with fear for a minute before he ran after the person that he thought he saw. When he went after it, it had completely disappeared. Although he enjoyed his time at the hospital, Brandon was already quite scared with all of his unexplained experiences. Other guards that worked on different days also came back with similar stories. They claimed that most of the same things occurred, with the exception being that they always saw shadowy nuns walk around into the patient rooms on the third floor. Wow. Creepy, right? Again, these old abandoned hospitals, sanitariums, or just buildings in general, they're terrifying for some reason. Ghosts like those areas. Do you think it's because of all the death associated with a hospital? You know what I mean? I thought about that when I was in the hospital a couple years ago. It was like, I wonder how many people are passing away each day. How many people are being born each day? You know, it's kind of like a train stop. A hospital. There's people coming and going. Perhaps that's why there's so much activity. Anyways, moving on. Check out this next one. "I've only been a police officer for 2 years now. I would not say that I'm a firm believer in ghosts, but I have no explanation for what happened on this one particular night. This wasn't a call I was responding to, but I was just driving around and observed a vehicle parked alone in the middle of a church parking lot. This was at night, so I figured maybe some kids were doing whatever kids do, right? So I pull up on the car from the side and see that no one is inside the vehicle. I then park my car behind it so that I could run the plates. Maybe someone stole it and dumped it in the middle of the parking lot. So, I started to run the plates. And I look at the car through the back window. And I kid you not, there was a person in the front seat looking at me through the rearview mirror. Now, this is something you notice as a cop, because when you do traffic stops, you can tell how intently someone is really watching you inside your car and possibly if they're going to try to do something. So I get the uh-oh moment, and I didn't see there were people inside the car. So I decide to drive up directly next to it to reassure myself what I saw. And then once again, there was no one inside the car. Chills immediately ran down my back, and I noped it the heck out of there. The car was later gone. I don't know what happened. I don't exactly know what I saw, but I was pretty freaked out by it. Me and my parents used to sit at that church on quiet nights because it is tucked away and you can just relax. I've not sat there since. So, did the officer imagine what he saw? Or was there a ghost in the car? I don't know. Check this out. It was a few years back, maybe 2009. The date doesn't really matter. It was the night shift, just a regular night. My partner and I were conducting a walking patrol of this old crematorium that they turned into something or other. Well, this thing was huge. It took us about an hour and a half to walk through every room. Officer Jay and I split up. I had forgotten my flashlight at home, and I was using my backup from my bag. You know the kind, the 38-foot long, takes about 200D batteries, and the ridiculously low-lumen yellow-tinted baton with a bulb on the end, that's what I was using. So, I'm walking through the third floor, so when this stupid flashlight decides that the batteries just aren't doing it for it anymore and drops to about 30% of its normal power. Basically, I can't see anything. I've only walked through once or twice before anyways. And I decided, damn it. And I sling the old moonbeam around my waist and try to feel my way to the stairwell. There are so many hallways here. I missed my first turn. And at this point, I'm officially lost. I refuse to go over the net and admit it. I start keying my mic, chirping rapidly, trying to get Officer Jay's attention. I've heard all these stories before about the long hallway and the man standing at the end of it. I find myself walking downstairs when I come to what sounds like, by my footsteps, a long hallway. Now, up until this point, I personally didn't believe in ghosts. I feel that you have to have some sort of religious belief in order to. I had my left hand on the wall and my right hand on my pistol. I'd given up on keying my mic because I felt I was close to the exit. I thought I saw movement in front of me. I drew my weapon and stopped, stunned. I continued to walk, the clack, clack, clack of my boots. And I kept calling out to my partner, Jay, Jay. No answer. Jay, I'm drawn. Don't mess around. I don't want to shoot you. Still no answer. I continued to walk with the same clack, clack, clack. The wall to my left had disappeared. Finally, I saw light from the moon. A room with a window on the ground floor. I'd just climb out of the window. That's what I told myself. I'm done here. So I walked into the room, and I noticed that it was incredibly colder in this room. Much colder. I walked to the window, and a blast came out of my radio. I had it turned all the way up so Officer Jay could hear my chirps. So a blast comes out of my radio, and it's Jay. And he said, "We got a jumper, side Charlie." Facing the front door is Alpha. Bravo's to the left, and Charlie's to the rear. And Delta to the right. I will scramble out of this window, eat stuff on my way out, I told myself. The belt, well, it caught on my way out. A face plant. I tried to put my hands out to soften the blow. I was on my belly, trying to set myself free. The other end of my belt was stuck as I tried to fall. Time is of the essence, so I hit the ground running. It takes, I don't know, 5 seconds for me to get my bearings. I'm on the Alpha Delta corner. I start running as hard as I can, and I can hear Jay screaming at this guy, "Don't do it!" He has his mic keyed, so I can hear it from a ways off in my ear. I made it around Delta corner, and Jay screamed, "No!" and turned away from the building. I looked and looked, but I didn't see anyone. But I could clearly tell there was a panic. I was out of breath at this point. I don't remember babbling, but I'm sure I sounded like something like, "Well, where's the jumper? Where's the jumper, Jay?" And Jay said he jumped. I couldn't stop him. I said, "Bro, I didn't see anybody. It was here. I could hear you yelling. I didn't see anybody." And we looked and looked and looked some more, and there wasn't anybody there. There never was. Jay was seeing something, and to this day, if you ask him, he swears there was a jumper. He said he watched him leap. I think Jay saw a ghost. We looked everywhere. There was no one there. I don't know what Jay saw. I still don't believe in ghosts, but I don't know. He saw something that we couldn't explain. Thanks. Well, I don't know. Was it a ghost? I don't know. Was it just like, you know, a vagrant squatting in the building? But like, where did the guy go? How come they couldn't find him? I don't know. Check this one out. Two police officers were called to go check out an alarm that had gone off nearby. When they got to this location, they pulled up in front of an aged office building that had been renovated into a doctor's office. The building had a pharmacy that was attached to it on one side. The reason the police officers were here was because the local dispatch had received a motion signal from one of the offices upstairs. The person who had the key to the building came to the location, and then the officers proceeded to secure the perimeter. Unfortunately, the key holder did not have keys to the stairs that were locked behind the door. So, the officers took the elevator up to the floor where the motion detectors had gone off. The elevator went to the second floor and opened up to a dark hallway. The only light that was coming from an overhead fixture at the very end of the hall. Now, following protocol, the officers began to check all of the doors. As far as they could tell thus far, everything seemed to be secured. Once they got to the last office at the end of the hallway, the door was unlocked. Now, proceeding with caution, they entered the room. After looking around, they reached the conclusion that the office space was not being used. They opened another and saw a large waiting room and a reception area. It contained 10 to 12 examination rooms that were all cleared with no mishaps. Everything seemed okay, so they proceeded to leave. As the two officers were leaving the office, something did not seem right to them. At that point, one of the officers realized that the dim light that had previously lit their way the first time was now completely turned off. Now another light was on that was closer to the elevators. The officer who was giving his account of what he saw next stated that, "I looked at my squad mate and saw that he was completely white. I asked him, 'What's wrong?' And he replied with a question. He asked if all the doors we had just checked were closed and locked. When I told him, yeah, he said that they were now standing wide open. Oddly enough, every single door that they had just spent the last few minutes testing were now flung completely open. Both officers were terrified. But because they had a job to do, they continued to secure, check, and clear each of the offices. Everything seemed to be okay as they finished up with the last one. As they were on their way through the door and about to turn the corner to go to the waiting area, the main door slammed completely shut. And all of a sudden, both of their radios start making strange noises with a lot of static feedback. Now, at this particular point, the officers just wanted to get the hell out of there. The two officers hurry back to the elevator and head down to the first floor. They had to get in contact with the key holder one more time before they left the premises. For some reason, the key holder was nowhere to be found. The officers attempted to make contact with their dispatch so that they could request a callback number for the key holder. They had to let them know what they had found. The dispatch let them know that the key holder was on her way and should be there within the next 5 minutes. Confused, they told their dispatch that they had already been in contact with the key holder earlier on in the night. The dispatch then stated that that was impossible for the officers to have talked with the key holder because the alarm company had only just contacted one. When the real key holder showed up in person, she asked about the person that had let them into the building, claiming to be the only authorized key holder. The woman stated that the officer's description of the man matched that of a doctor that used to work on the second floor of the same building that they had just searched. Ironically, that man had committed suicide in his home a few days prior to this incident. To this day, the two officers still have no idea how this dead man was able to let them into the building. The two officers have also never returned to that haunted office building or its perimeter ever again. Crazy, right? A dead guy let the police into the office building? I love stories like that. Check out this next one. Trevor was out for his normal patrol on a late Nebraska winter night. The ground was covered in snow. Nothing seemed to be out of the normal. There were several areas in the Nebraska town that were peppered with abandoned buildings and abandoned houses. Due to the rising price of copper, the police had also seen a rise in copper theft from old plumbing in the abandoned homes. Regular patrols were necessary in order to keep thieves from stealing these costly pipes from these abandoned buildings and homes. On this one particular evening, Trevor did his normal drive through one particular abandoned area. He had driven past one of the homes at around 8 that night. Everything looked as normal as it should be. The house was on a corner, so the officer was able to see all four sides of the house as he drove around. He continued his patrol to other areas. About 2 hours later, Trevor looped back around to do another pass through that particular street, since he knew the corner lot was abandoned. As he passed by, he noticed the back door of the house was wide open. Something he knew had to have happened in the 2 hour period since he drove through the area. From his car, he didn't see any sign of intruders, including any footprints that should have been around the door area. He called into the station to let them know that he would be checking out the house, and he parked his squad car. The wintry night air added to the already uneasy feeling Trevor had as he approached the abandoned home. He took a walk around the perimeter, but still didn't find any sign of any footprints in the snow, so he went back to the open door. As he stepped inside, he noticed the house was completely empty, and it had obviously been gutted. He looked down at his boots, scraped across the dusty floor, realizing there were no footprints in the house either. The officer shined his flashlight around the room, but all he saw was torn down walls and piles of plaster in different places. He took one last look at the floor for any signs of footprints and then just shrugged it off. With no evidence of intrusion, he chalks it up to the wind or a loose lock on the door. He turned to walk out when he heard a large thump coming from upstairs. He paused for a moment, and then the thump again, followed this time by the sound of children laughing. So he thought there must have been kids in the house. So he called out to them, telling them to come down immediately. "This is the police. Come downstairs now." The house felt silent. So Trevor radioed in the possible intruders and made his way through the house to the back staircase that led upstairs. He walked slowly, looking for any footprints he might have missed, pausing a couple more times at the sound of the children playing upstairs. When no one responded, He started to think he was hearing what he was hearing was skewed, and perhaps he would find nothing more than an animal or an open window upstairs. Slowly, he climbed the creaky staircase, his flashlight as the only source of light in the house. When the officer reached the top of the stairs, he paused and noticed three bedrooms, one to the right, one to the left, and one straight ahead. All of the doors were shut, and he heard nothing but the wind outside. So he stepped forward, turns to the right, but stops at the sound of another thump coming from the bedroom to his left. He walked slowly to the door and turned the handle to the bedroom. As the door swung open, he shines his flashlight in, looking quickly around the room. It was empty, except for a small pile of dirt and plaster in the middle of the floor. He turned to walk away when a piece of paper placed gingerly at the top of the pile caught his eye. He walked over to the pile, peered down at the paper, sounds of children's laughter echoing quietly through the hallways as he picked up the page ripped from a long-ago children's book. On the torn-out page is a picture of a police officer. The officer reported that he dropped the torn paper, checked the other rooms quickly, and left as fast as humanly possible. There wasn't a living soul in that house that night, and he claims that he never went back. Huh. I don't blame him. That sounds pretty terrifying, if you ask me. Scary stories by police officers, security guards, things like that, people on patrol. I hope you like those as much as I did. I'm going to be doing some more on the Elite Show. Let's take a break. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives.
Boom!
Hope you like some of those stories. Very creepy. It almost seems like mostly ghost stories, although I do have other stories of police officers and security guards and stuff seeing, of course, UFOs and other strange things like that. I think I'm going to be talking about that on an Elite episode coming up. But, of course, there are famous stories of, right, of cops driving down the street and seeing a UFO parked on the side of the street, or heck, even the Stephenville lights that happened here years ago. There was one of the officers there, one of the sheriff's deputies that, you know, witnessed the objects in the sky.
I wonder if it has to do also with, like we've talked about, with your position or your career choice. When you become a peace officer, you're like, you're dealing with some really wild stuff, and it's almost like you put yourself in that line of fire, not just in the, on the human sense, but it maybe it is in the paranormal sense as well, right?
Like, yeah, it's possible.
Maybe you step into their crosshairs without knowing. Because we know several police officers, like a bunch, right? With training with them in jiu-jitsu, like there's DPS officers, sheriff's officers, police officers. You deal with all that. Every one of them that I've ever talked to has, just like regular people, some strange encounters, but it's almost like it got turned up maybe one or two levels above anything that like a normal person would have. You know what I mean? It's like, it's almost like it's trying to make an impression on these officers or on these, I don't know, it's weird. It's kind of almost like the same strange thing as like we always laugh about smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
It's like smoking cigarettes. You want to see some really weird stuff, take up smoking and then start smoking between 10 p.m. and 12 p.m., right?
Like, yeah.
Which you don't have to smoke. Just go outside. Pretend you're smoking. Go out and have a fizzy water. Go out and, I don't know, right? Relax. Don't smoke, but just be out looking up because that's when people see it.
You know, I've had lots of people that message me over the years about the cigarette smoking thing. Mm-hmm. And even a friend of ours and fellow podcaster, Chris James, sent me a message one time saying that he thinks that a lot of people see stuff while they're smoking cigarettes simply because they're not focusing on anything. Mm-hmm. Like in today's world, especially people go outside for a smoke break, they instantly are on their phone, right? Like people are always on their phone. I think you would think paranormal sightings would be going down because everybody's looking at their phone
Yeah.
instead of out and around. Maybe they are. Maybe they're just out there, you know, enjoying a few minutes looking up, and that's why they see stuff in the sky. Or
it's
or
a
whatever.
Solid point. I mean, it's a point that
it's as good a theory as any other.
I mean, it is.
Obviously, I don't think that smoking cigarettes allows you to see paranormal things.
But it does. I mean, it is one of those things where it is a you know, it's a private thing, especially now because it doesn't seem like smoking's as near as prevalent as it was when we were children.
No, but now I think vaping. I mean, yeah. I see a lot of people doing that.
Yeah.
More than I've seen people smoking cigarettes.
We tried. I tried that stuff out, and then I just couldn't get behind it. I'm like, oh, well, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much a stick in the mud.
Yeah. Well, look, right? I'm not pushing the envelope. I'm sitting here drinking
fizzy water.
Severed lime fizzy water.
We're like we've said, we've shifted gears, folks, to where we're back taking care of ourselves. You've heard about, y'all know, y'all listen, you know what we take. We take our athletic greens, right? We take our gummies, our microdose.
Yeah.
Like that's what we do. We're trying to stay healthy.
Before we get out of here, I got another crazy story. Check this out. It says it was the summer of 1996. I was living with my family in Northern Orange County, California. My wife was visiting relatives, so I decided to go out for a bite to eat. I just finished a late dinner at a local restaurant and started walking through a vacant parking lot. As I walked, I saw a square-shaped lighted object moving overhead. This UFO came closer, but I could not hear any sound. There was also a pulsating white light located on the bottom. After a few seconds, the object simply vanished. I was stunned and stood there for a few minutes wondering if the object would ever return. I continued to walk through the parking lot, coming to the entrance on the backside that led into an alley. As I walked through the well-illuminated alley, I noticed ahead of me a strange-looking creature looking through a row of hedges.
Uh-oh.
I stopped walking and crouched down behind a car so the creature could not see me.
In them trees.
I realize that the description will seem ridiculous, but this is what I witnessed.
Let me preface by saying nothing is ridiculous on this show. When you start telling a description, we're listening, all right? We're going for it.
The creature was 4 to 5 foot tall and a bit frail looking. He wore a one-piece light blue bodysuit that had an iridescent look to it. It wore high black boots that seemed to glow from the bottom. The face had a well-pronounced chin, tiny round eyes, holes where the ears should have been, and had a large, bald head. As I watched, the creature looked like it was having trouble walking. I continued to watch as it looked around the hedges and in a garbage can, then disappearing behind a garage. After a few seconds, I heard strange popping sounds. I continued to crouch down by the car, wondering if the creature would come back. After a few minutes, my curiosity got the best of me, so I slowly raised up and started to slowly walk in the direction of the garage.
Many have died because of curiosity.
As I neared, a tall, hairy, ape-like creature emerged from behind the garage into the alley while looking directly at me. I was stunned as my legs gave way and I dropped to the ground in horror. It had no clothing, with large, long, hairy arms and red glowing eyes. Now, in a weird way, this thing didn't look solid. It almost looked like a ghost or a hologram. It made a few grunting sounds, turned around, and started to run down the alley towards the woods at the dead end. When I arrived home, I realized my walk and encounter on the way lasted over 2 hours.
Uh-oh.
Though the distance of the restaurant and my house was only a few blocks. I wondered if I should report the incident, but thought it was too ridiculous and I would never be believed anyways. Later, I told my story to my pastor as well as a friend at church, but both refused to take it seriously. I went back to the alley several times to see if any evidence could be found. For example, the light blue bodysuit and the discarded boots, since I was sure that this was a metamorphic event, though I found nothing. Through the years, I began to wonder if this creature was actually a Bigfoot or Sasquatch. I've never heard any conjecture of Bigfoot as an extraterrestrial, but I suppose anything is possible. Thanks.
Wow.
So the thing had on a blue suit, like a jumper, like old men wear?
Or was it an alien, then it projected itself as this ape?
Yeah, I don't know, right.
But it does sound like an old man jumper, don't it?
With boots that glow on the bottom.
Mm. And they were knee high, right?
Yeah, something like that.
So it's like old man David Bowie alien style stuff kicking it in there.
Listen, it's a bizarre sighting, but like, I mean.
Yeah, I retract my statement. That's just ridiculous. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm messing around. No, I love it.
Right?
Because here's what it is. We have received, you know, stories. We've done research. Everybody's read and listened. There are strange sightings of what possible aliens dressed very oddly, right? With these crazy outfits on and all this. But the fact that you've kind of startled this one and then this monkey thing appears.
Yeah.
It almost feels like you're talking like it's a hologram or it's a projection trying to spook off whatever it is, you know, scare things away. Would be a great way of like a defense, right? Like a porcupine has quills. If you could just project some crazy monster.
Yeah.
It would be perfect.
Well, and the person writing in may not know that the similarities between Bigfoot as being extraterrestrial is quite common. And there's lots of, I mean, even Joshua Cutchin pointed it out in one of his books. Like there's a lot of UFO sightings. And then shortly thereafter, there are Sasquatch sightings. So people have wondered over the years, is Sasquatch an extraterrestrial? Like maybe that's why we don't ever find the bones is because they don't live here. They come down here and investigate and they get back in their ship and they take off. Others have said that Sasquatch are like pets. And like when people dump a puppy on the side of the road, the aliens dump their Sasquatch on the planet and then leave because they don't want nothing to do with it. Who knows, right?
But I do like those theories.
I like the ideas of it. I love it.
The reason I like them is because it makes that both of them are real, right? Sasquatch is real. Aliens are real. Like I'm down with it.
Yeah.
And all the information coming out now with all the UFO stuff is pretty much they're agreeing like, hey, there's stuff going on and we don't know what it is and we can't stop it.
Yeah. And I think they're all living in the oceans, right?
Oh yeah. I think so now. The more and more I believe so. Yeah.
Well, if you have any stories you want to share with me and Cam, email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com or you can call the show 888-393-2783. That's 888-393-BRUD and share your story. Cam, before we get out of here, have you seen the new House of the Dragon?
I did watch it.
Yes. And?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good, right?
You know why? Because it didn't feel like it strayed from original Game of Thrones.
That's what I liked. I was worried.
And I'm like, yeah, they didn't go too crazy. Everything's so, of course, you know, we're waiting to see where it goes.
Sure.
But yeah, I was happy with the very first episode. I'm like, yeah, I think this is something I could get into.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool. But
like we've discussed before, we're both fantasy nerds.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're waiting for the Ring of Power to come out. We're waiting for the D&D movie. So when House of Dragons dropped, we're like, this is perfect.
And you're getting ready for ReaperCon.
That's right. Next week, baby, I'll be at ReaperCon.
Tell everybody what that is.
So this is what goes down for those that are the uninitiated. This is what happens. Reaper is a giant miniature company.
That's kind of like Jumbo Shrimp, right?
Exactly. So they build gaming miniatures, right? So they mold and have all these and have for years. And they're up here in Denton. And just like a comic con or any kind of con they're having, Reaper has their own where they have painting competitions. There's role-playing games there. There's going to be all kinds of vendors there. It's just a whole big, basically from like Thursday to Sunday, is just crazy tabletop RPG fun and everything that goes with it. And it's pretty big from what I can tell. I wanted to go a couple of years ago, and then the COVID put the squash on it when I was planning on going then. So not now. So this time I'm going. I'm going to be up there for the whole thing and check it out. And I'm hopefully to get to sit down and play like a one-shot or something while we're there. So
we'll see
how it goes.
You have to eat up there. You have to eat at Torchy's there in Denton.
Oh, I'm sure I'll hit one of those. There's several little restaurants I'm going to bounce around in there in Denton. So what is everyone like the Mellow Mushroom or something? There's supposed to be a really good little pizza joint.
There's a New York Subway up there that's really amazing. Really? It's not Subway the sandwich shop, but it is a sandwich shop, but it's a one-off place, and they make them just like they do in New Jersey.
Is it near the school?
Yeah, it's near the school.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
Yeah, and they got like a Duluth Trading Company you should probably check
I'll
out.
I'll probably have to check that stuff out if I'm not in there. Oh, I love
getting some hunting pants or something.
Oh, yeah, those things are jamming. But yeah, that's where I'll be all next week. So pretty much, yeah, from Thursday to Sunday, I guess I'll be at ReaperCon.
I am going to be Mr. Mom. My wife and some of her family are going to Arkansas, so it'll just be me and the brood at the house.
Yay!
Right?
So that's not too bad, is it?
Oh, are you kidding? No.
That's like a vacation for you.
Man, it's amazing. Just us guys, there won't be any problems.
Right?
Till the last day, then we got to clean the house,
that's
right?
Everybody's got to pull their weight. Everybody together.
Yeah, but that's about it. That's about all the time we have for this show, folks. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.